I just want to continue with that a bit more than we did last time, but I'm just touching on the main points because I believe this is very important for us. The name of our church, as you know, is Disciples Fellowship, and the need of the hour is to make disciples. And so we don't want to be just there encouraging you to come to church on Sundays. We want you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and there's much more than just believing in Jesus, even though believing in Jesus is the key. But these days, to believe in Jesus doesn't mean very much to many people. So we have to define that very clearly, even though sometimes when we say we are believers, we mean we are disciples, but not everyone sees it that way. So we have to reemphasize the fact that it is not just enough to say you believe. You need to be a disciple of Jesus. So I'll be sharing a bit on that today as well. And what does it mean to have the culture of a disciple, especially as a church? Whether we are here, whether we are in Kalimpong, whether we are in Africa, wherever we are, we need to have a fragrance around us. You see, people should see us and not only say they are different, they should look at us and realize that we are disciples of Jesus. You see, and there are many things I could say to you. I don't have time to put it all across to you in this short time here. I just put a few major things for you to realize that what it means to be a disciple, first and foremost, is that we are walking in overcoming grace, all right? And what do I mean by that? When I say walking in overcoming grace, I took the story of Joseph. Remember last Sunday, Joseph? You see, an amazing story. We don't have time to go through that. Once again, you could go back home and read about Joseph. Just a few pointers to you about Joseph. And that is this Joseph, the Bible does not mention in those few chapters about his the closeness of his walk with God, you see. The thing it just says is this: God had favor on Joseph. God blessed Joseph. That's all that we see in the scriptures, actually, during about that time period. And it does not tell us about what was going in the heart of Joseph. We just get a glimpse from one word, one phrase that he used. Because you see, in the beginning, he could have been a very, a special kind of a guy who thinks, we have young people who think they are special, isn't it? And Joseph had all the rights to think he was special. He saw two amazing visions, and in that vision, even his father and his mother was bowing down before him. Can you imagine what will that do to a young boy? Just imagine someone like Aaron or someone like Abel or Asher, and they're saying, I see a dream that my mother is bowing down before me. It'll go into their head, isn't it? It will. And so it definitely went into Joseph's head. It went into his head about the fact that he was a special boy. But the journey that he took after that was must have really broken him all the way. He was in the pit, not knowing what's going to happen. Just imagine a young boy, 17, 18 year old, in a pit, in a place where there's a forest and wild animals, and his brothers are saying, "Tata, bye bye, see you, Joseph. Enjoy your time in the pit." You see, what must have been going through his mind? He must have cried out in fear and torment. "Oh, don't leave me and go. How can you leave me in this pit?" They must have heard that cry because they came back, and do you know what they did? They couldn't close their ears to his cries. So they took him out of the pit and then said, "Let's send him send them along with the Midianites who were going that way to Egypt." And so they bundled him off with the Midianites, and they must have sold him for money. And here was he tied up and taken to Egypt in the house of Potiphar, the captain, the bodyguard of the king. And you Can you imagine what all happened in the heart of Joseph? You see, we just know this from the scriptures. The Bible says God had favor with Joseph, but you can be sure he began his walk with God in a manner that you could say he was truly walking in overcoming grace. You see, here is the Potiphar's wife coming after him. Can you imagine a beautiful young lady coming after you day after day and saying, I want you? Not just for a moment, not just for a day. It was day after day after day, and he was a rich young woman, must have been. He could have the advantage of getting all the favor from that house if he had slept with that woman. No one would have known about this. It must have been something that could have been hid very easily. But one phrase of Joseph stands out, my dear friends, showing us that here is a man who has learned what it means to walk in overcoming grace. You know what he said to that lady? We don't have time to even go to that verse. He said two things. You see, how can I do this great evil? How many of us would call it great evil? We may say it's wrong. Well, I don't want to sleep with a guy. It's wrong. Today's young people, we really need to be careful, because standards are going down like anything. But here we find Joseph saying, how can I do this great evil? Number one statement. And number two statement he says is, and sin against God. He don't just say, how can I sin? Oh, I don't want to sin. You see, he was so close in his walk with God that he was saying, how can I? He didn't even say, how can I sin against Potiphar or someone else? How can I sin against God? So can you see how much he must have been walking close to God? I just want to tell you this statement, my dear friends. To walk in grace means that we have received breakthroughs in our lives with regards to sin. All right? It is not just walking free from problems. You see, we talk of grace sometimes as I'm free from problems in my life. I'm walking in grace. No big problems. I must be walking in grace. You see? But we find that grace means more than just free from problems. Grace means that you are free from active sin. You see, I told you we are disciple making church, so sometimes it hurts us as leaders when we have to confront people, when we have to do that. You see, it's not easy to confront people. We did that recently, Jeffy and I did that just recently, and we found, you see, people don't want to be confronted about their sin. To even point out something so obvious and say, what can you say about it? And then that person still looks at straight in the face and say, don't insult me. Walking in grace means walking in free from active sin, my dear friends. Let's not fool ourselves this morning. Grace is not just God saying, well, it's okay. Grace is God saying, I want to help you to come out of your sin. The next one we saw was what does it mean to have a culture of discipleship around us is when we are so, you see, working with the word of God. Let me tell you something, my dear friends, just one statement I want to make here before you, and that is this. See, thankfully, there is a way to know how much we desire to truly walk with God. Listen carefully. There is a way to really know how much you desire to walk with God. Foolproof way. So it may sound surprising to many people, because somehow, you see, this is not the culture we have today. Forget about people bringing their Bibles to church. How many of us go to the scriptures not with a sense of, I need to finish my quiet time today, if not God would curse me or something like that. How much do we go to scriptures and say, Lord, speak to me. You see, what is this foolproof way that we have to know we decide to walk with God? Is this simple? It's by finding out how much we are eager to receive from the Word of God. You see, you cannot separate God and His Word. You see, it may seem like we can, but we cannot. You see? This word, this book that you have in your hands is the most important way you can hear from God. It is not as if God said, okay, let me just give you a book in case you want to know more about me. You see, can you see, he even goes so far as to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does it mean, all these verses? It means that, hey, God is speaking to us. We want experiences from God. We want to, you see, we want to sort of taste God and touch God and feel God. And God is saying, hey, the most important thing to know is this, I want to speak to you. I remember going to the beach when I was young in the faith and looking for God in the sky, hoping I'll get some answers. You see, when the cloud came and said, yes, I said, oh, wow, the cloud in the shape of a Y. You see, that must be yes. If the shape of an N, it must be no. You see? So that's the way I began my journey with God, looking at the clouds. And soon I realized that's not the way to hear from God. You ignore the Bible, and you're ignoring the God of the Bible. See, the Bible does two things to us, by the way, my dear friends. The Bible prepares us. There is a preparatory work that the Scriptures does. We go to the Bible to find out what all we need to do. All right, without knowing that you're not preparing yourself for God. There is a preparatory work that you need from the scriptures. How do I prepare myself? No other, you will not get that from anywhere else. You need to go to the scriptures to find out how you should prepare your life, how you should keep your life in a particular way. You will not get that from the Quran. You will not get that from any other book. So you need to go to the Bible to find out how to prepare yourself. There is a preparatory work that the Bible gives to us. But there is also a revelatory work. There is a revelation straight from God through the scriptures. Because the Bible is all about Jesus. In one sense, isn't it? Talks about all what God has done for you through Jesus. And so if you are not hearing that, if you are seeing only the preparatory work, then you are in a sad place today. Many people go to the Bible just to find out things, what they need to do. Oh, I need to stop smoking. I need to stop drinking. One guy came and told me recently, the Bible does not tell us that we should not take drugs. Isn't that interesting? What drugs do you want to take? I asked him. He said, well, he backed out, you see. David had 3 wives. Why can't I have at least 2? You see, there are ways we could twist the scriptures. There is knowing how to set my life in order. What do I do to set my life in order so that God can then reveal something that I really need in my life? You see, my dear friends, it's all about Jesus. Please let me repeat that statement again and again to you. It's all about Jesus and what he has done that will make the difference in your life. Even if you smoke, you stop your smoking and stop your drinking and stop your going around with loose morals, it still doesn't make that change that God wants to do in your life. It's about Jesus and what he can do. So if you have not come to a place where you are hearing about Jesus in the scriptures, then we become a Pharisee. We become a Pharisee. They gave tithes of all they had, and they said, well, we are doing all that we need to do. Jesus Christ said to them, you whitewashed tombs, you do not come to me. You search the scriptures, but you still don't see me in the scriptures. Just imagine the very person whom the Bible wrote about was standing in front of them, and they are blind. They don't see the man whom Moses was talking about. They don't see the man whom David was saying, this is my Lord. Here he is, standing in front of them. He said, someone greater than Abraham is here before you. Before Abraham was, I am. They still didn't see it. They cried out and said, crucify him. We don't want him here. He's a troublemaker. because he brings conviction regarding our sin. He didn't hurt them or kill them. But he brought light into the dark areas of their life, and they didn't want it. My dear friends, let me repeat that what I told you. You cannot separate God from His Word. Don't you dare tell me, well, I like Jesus, but I don't really look at the Bible, Pastor. I think that is not very important. We don't need the Bible. We are new generation people. I don't care if you have your Bible in your mobile, in your laptop, or even maybe in your, no matter where you have it, the issue is, do you have it with you? And the more important question is, what are you looking at the Bible for? Sometimes we as pastors look at the scriptures to prepare our sermons, isn't it? Well, I want to prepare a sermon. I heard John Austin or someone say, you see, till Wednesday he spent quite light. He does things to lighten up. But when it's Wednesday or Thursday, he starts going to the Bible, spending time with God to prepare for the Sunday. See, we don't need to prepare, but we need the Bible to bring change in our lives, because it's the living Word, and God has to show you in the scriptures what He has done for you, so that you could exchange that, take a hold of what He has done for you and say, Lord, I give what I have to you so that I can take what you have for me. Is there an exchange going on in your Bible study? Is the important question. The third one is working out active faith. You see, the highest step of faith is not saying that God is able. See, that's important for us to know, that God is able. So when you face a difficult situation, you have to know that God is able to help you out of that situation, isn't it? You see, but the highest step of faith is not that God is able, or not even that God is willing. Listen to me carefully, my dear friends. You see, the highest step of faith is not you saying that God is able to help you, or even that God is willing to help you out of your situation. You know what is the highest step of faith that you can take? Pardon? It is this, and that is, God is in charge. We go through situations in our life and we think, oh God, I know you are able. I know you are willing to give me a job. I know that you can. You can do all things. So God, we really try to work out faith and we cast out a demon of unemployment in the name of Jesus. Yeah? How dare you come into my home? Out in the name of Jesus. Out all laziness in the name of Jesus. You want to blame the devil for your laziness? wicked spirits out. Spirit of pornography out. Easy, isn't it? So we are saying, Lord, you are able, you can, you will. We forget that sometimes. More than even saying God is able, more than even saying God is willing, the most difficult thing is to say God is in charge of my life. I have taken away the rudder from my hands, and He is the captain of my soul. You know this famous poem, isn't it? You are not the captain of your soul. You don't decide your destiny. He has to become the captain of your soul. Of course, you need to say that God is able. Of course, you need to say that God is willing. There's a higher step of faith, my dear friends, when you can finally say, no matter what, God is in charge. We don't call that great faith, isn't it? But that's it. We've been taught wrongly, my dear friends, when we hear that faith is all about grabbing a hold of Him and taking things by violence, and the violence take it by force. It's the wrong context we use when we talk about, use that verse. Because He's using that verse to talk about people who are against God, not those who are for God. Because the very next verse says He grieves. He grieved over their unbelief. They're so used to violence in the kingdom of God. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Got the wrong picture, God says. You see, I just made a small close here. I just have 5 or 10 minutes more. You see, I just made a small table here to show us just a glimpse of what discipleship culture is and what discipleship culture is not. All right, let's quickly go through this. I don't have time to even explain this to you. I just put 5 things. You could add yourself many other things. See, what discipleship culture, number one, is asking brothers to pray for my healing. And those who don't have the culture will look for an anointed man who can heal them, running around to find that anointed man who can heal them of their disease. You see, a discipleship culture, number two, is seeking for God's guidance and doing our best to come out of debt. You see, but though you don't have that culture, you will be waiting and waiting passively for that miraculous deliverance, for that money to fall from on your lap. We have preachers today who say to you, well, God is going to bless your purse. Check it out. It has come. Check out your purse. Open it up. And there are fools who would go to their purse and say, oh, I see more dollars now than I had before. How did this come? My goodness, where did the dollars come from? You think God is a lottery agent? Someone asked me recently, Pastor, can I buy a lottery ticket? I said, I'm telling you, the believers are, really on the move, isn't it? I said, I can give half the money to the ministry, he told me, straight in the face. Just last week it happened, not 10 years ago, just last week. I said, oh my goodness, you want to destroy your family? How long will it take for you to get your lottery win, by the way? He said, I don't know. Did Jesus Christ pray for people, lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed of your debt? You see that in the Bible anywhere? If you have, please let me know. I've not found it yet, all right? Please let me know. He prayed for healing, he prayed for demons, but he didn't pray for people to come out of their debt in the name of Jesus. Because we need to work with God and do our best to handle money carefully. We need, you know what we need the most? We need self-control with regards to our money. More than anything else, not deliverance. All right, we need to work with God and He was to show us wisdom how to come out of our debt. Number three, aligning myself to God's purpose so that He will answer my prayers. See, too many of us will, when we have trouble, immediately we cry out to God and say, God should answer my prayers, but you've never set your life, aligned your life with God. And you think just because you're a child of God, He'll just answer your prayer just like that? I don't think so. It's not Aladdin's lamp. Number four, knowing that trials are a test of my faith and deciding to rely on God for patience to go through this trial and learn, build my character. But people who are not ready to be disciples, they want to come out of that situation right now, yesterday, in the name of Jesus. I want deliverance yesterday. You see, go through any problem, all that you can think of is, I want to come out of this. I want to come out of this. Pray for me. Then we have chain prayers and all kinds of prayers. Today is easy to have prayers from all over the world, isn't it? You just send a WhatsApp. Hundreds of people praying for you. Only problem is that God is saying, wait a minute. I sent this trial, not the devil. To refine you, to reform you. Oh God, don't be a spoiled sport. Take away this problem right now. Number five, resisting the devil to advance the kingdom of God. You see, we always resist the devil with regards to our own problems, isn't it? Yeah, I remember a joke. Not a joke, it's a real story that happened. My wife was studying for her dentistry years ago, and many people came to the faith in her hostel. There was a big revival in their campus during that time, in Manipal, of all places, KMC. Many people came to the Lord, many girls, every day girls were getting saved. And one day there was an earthquake in their hostel, and early in the morning, and this girl who just got saved, you see, she jumped out of her bed and opened up the sheet and said, out devil, out, don't shake my bed, out in the name of Jesus, out. Just casting the demon out of her bed, and then suddenly she heard a voice saying, run, run, run. And then she opened the door and ran because the whole building was shaking, you see. So we can resist the devil for ourselves all the time. Don't shake my bed. Leave me alone. And God says, hey, I've given you weapons to fight to advance the kingdom, not for you to get your sneakers on time. In Guy went to the airport and he put in this thing to get the sneakers. He put the money, but sneakers didn't come out. And then it was time for him to go. He banged on the glass and the sneakers jumped out. He said, "Praise God." You see, "I got my sneakers on time." You see, in the name of Jesus, he kicked the sneakers cooler and it jumped out. "Devil stole my sneakers," and he gave it back. Oh, you see, this is what we do all the time, isn't it? And we forget the advancement of the kingdom of God. We need to go out and see people being saved. And you need to sometimes, you can lose your life, my dear friends. You can lose your life. There are martyrs that are there. So come, let's prepare ourselves to be a disciple of Jesus. Let's say, "Oh God," I just want to close with one verse, and that's in 1 Peter. And it's a very beautiful verse, but we just don't see it. Key to this big portion of scripture is actually in verse 4. You see, we know that verse in chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, it says, "Coming to him as a living stone, as to a living stone which has been rejected by men but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The point I want to make is this: coming to him. As to a living stone. Verse 4. Verse 4, please, not verse 5. Coming to him. My dear friends, this is the heart of a disciple. He knows if he is not able to come to Jesus, everything else is a waste of time. Because he is the living stone. Amen? Can we pray, please? Father, we come to you this morning seeing you as the one who has sent Jesus for us. Oh God in heaven, we want to do everything else. But many times we fail to come to you, God. We are so easily distracted. I confess my own weakness before you this day. If only we could come to you. I can hear so many things about being a disciple, but everything is centered around me coming to you. Jesus, you are the cornerstone. You are the choice and precious stone rejected by men, and yet choice and precious in the sight of God. How could we ignore you, O Jesus, and expect blessing from heaven? present ourselves to you, Lord. Make us, even as we heard that song, mold us, fill us and use us. Help us to come to you. Help us to draw to you, that you can draw near to us. Give you all the glory and all the praise. Bless this week ahead of us, that we might make a difference through the culture that we are able to portray only through Jesus. Give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' precious name, pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead, and may you